Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for consideration this morning is recorded in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 12 through 20. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, and I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak five intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. So far the text. In the name of Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, and especially you officers of St. Paul who are presenting yourselves this morning for installation into office later on in the service. Last Sunday at the annual meeting, there were a number of our men who were elected as officers of St. Paul congregation for the new year. That's a time-honored custom in our midst. It's also something that our church constitution stipulates and specifies, that all newly elected officers present themselves for installation on the first Sunday after the annual election held in the January voters' meeting. This custom of installation is wholly in line with Scripture, where Jesus instructs us in his holy word to do everything in the church in a fitting and an orderly way. And installing church officers into office also serves the salutary purpose of stressing the sanctity and the importance of the work they've been called to do in Jesus' name. And this morning we want to offer encouragement from the Word, really to all of us as servants of Christ, but especially to our officers, that they undertake their work with joy and faithfulness in the coming year. And so we offer that prayer in the words of our sermon text, Holy Spirit, or sermon theme, Holy Spirit, help us. Help us to use our gifts to glorify the Savior, and help us to use our gifts for the edification, the building up of our fellow Christians. And we were reminded in a sermon 2 weeks ago, and some of you may recall, that Jesus, the head of the church, our ascended Lord, is the one who graciously bestows gifts upon his church in the form of pastors and teachers and other leaders for the blessing of his church. And in addition to the people gifts, we looked at scriptures that show that Jesus gives and bestows talent gifts, skills, and abilities which his people may use for his service, for the good of his congregation as a whole. Now, in the text before us from 1 Corinthians 14, Jesus teaches us to use our skills and talents, whatever they may be that he has given to us, to glorify him, our Redeemer and Lord. He encourages us to pray that in all the tasks that we perform in the congregation, to always do it with this uppermost in mind. Jesus, help me to do it for your praise. Seems that members at the church in Corinth had fallen down in this regard. What we read in this, actually it's a 3-chapter-long section from Paul's letter from 12 to 14 in this epistle. Might suggest that as a devotion for your week. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, including our text for today. As you read this, we can gather that these Christians had fallen into the habit of using their Spirit-given gifts in a thoughtless and an even a loveless way that served not for Jesus' praise, but for their own benefit. And so Paul counseled them. This is back in the previous chapter 13. This is a pretty famous chapter, the love chapter of the Bible. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, if I have a faith that can move mountains, if I give all that I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I'm nothing and I gain nothing. And so we see how the Apostle Paul encouraged and urged and exhorted these Christians of the congregation at Corinth to utilize their gifts always in a way that was thoughtful, in a loving way towards Jesus and their fellow Christians. That's a good reminder for us Christians today in the work that we do for the Lord. He wants us to use the talents and abilities that he gives to us always in service to him, our Lord and Savior, and with the prayer that his name be glorified and that the proclamation of the gospel for the salvation of souls, for the strengthening of the faith of our fellow believers and spreading it to others might grow and prosper. Someone might ask, but how does like chairing a church congregational meeting serve that wonderful purpose of glorifying Jesus? How can preparing a treasurer's report or making a bank deposit or writing up meeting minutes or drawing up an usher schedule or seeing to it that the church property is kept up or decorating the altar with flowers and all the other things that the ladies of the congregation do, how does that serve for the welfare of souls and the spreading of Christ's loving reign in hearts? Answer: whatever activity we're involved with, dear Christian friends, in a Christian congregation, it's all done, is it not, to help our church to fulfill its primary mission of preaching the good news of Jesus. And when God's people are led by the Holy Spirit to put their faith into action in various ways, devoting their skills to serving their fellow believers as a token of their having given their hearts first to Jesus, it redounds to his Savior praise. Recall Paul's words to Titus, another of his letters: Christ Jesus gave himself for us so that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous or eager to do good works. For whose praise? For the good, for the glory and the praise of Jesus. And there's that beautiful gospel verse in Ephesians, one of our favorites that I think probably many of you know by heart. Chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. By grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by our works, so that no one can boast. For it goes on to say, Paul says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And this amazing thought also, which God prepared in advance for you to do, even before you were born, before the world was, he had it in mind to give you these works to do for him, for his praise. So a beautiful incentive Jesus provides us to use all of our talents, whatever they may be, different talents for different people, different skills, in a way that serves Jesus. And when we consider how the Lord of mercy, because of the great love with which he's loved us, even when we were dead in sin, made us alive with him, and we think how he raised us up and made us sit together in the heavenly places so that in the coming age he might show the exceeding riches of his grace towards us in Christ. When we consider how Jesus, he did not come to be served, but to serve us and give his life a ransom for many, how that inspires us now to live a life of loving service in praise to him. Nor need you fear, dear friends, that your work and your labors for the Lord to Christ are not acceptable because of your human failings and shortcomings. That is a real temptation and potential source of discouragement to wonder and worry, like we heard in our two Bible lessons, Isaiah and Simon Peter. How can the Lord use me to accomplish anything worthwhile for his kingdom, poor sinner that I am? Isaiah said, woe is me. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of flawless, unclean lips, or I should say, people with flaws. They're not flawless. How can I serve the Lord? I'm not flawless. I'm a sinful human being. Peter said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to be able to serve you, the holy Lord of all. Both instances, notice, Jesus reassured them, I am pleased to use you and joyfully receive your works of service, not because of your merit and goodness, but because through faith in me, your Savior, your guilt has been atoned for and your iniquity has been purged. You may serve the Lord with gladness. Another thought Paul presents in our text, we want to consider a prayer that we each want to offer. Holy Spirit, help me to use my gifts for the edification of my fellow believers. The Corinthians, to whom Paul first addressed these words, they were very eager to use their gifts. They wanted to do that, but they were not using them in a way that was serving the Lord's praise and for building up their fellow Christians. Especially the gift of tongue speaking is mentioned here. Gung-ho about having it, but they were abusing it, misusing it for their own enjoyment. And that whole topic, Bible subject of tongue speaking and its abuse isn't one we really need to go into and delve into deeply. It's one of those gifts, as you know, that along with like healing the sick and driving out demons, other so-called charismatic gifts which the Holy Spirit bestowed on certain Christians in those days for the purpose of authenticating who were Jesus' true apostles and to grab people's attention so that they would listen with their ears to the good news of Jesus the apostles were preaching in a day when the whole canon of Scripture had not yet been gathered together like we have today. Now that we've got the entire canon of Holy Scripture, all 66 Spirit-inspired books, Genesis to Revelation, we don't need gifts like tongue speaking or faith healing and so forth to build Christ's church. And the Lord makes it very clear in his word that after the apostles died and all the books of the Bible were collected, the time for those special charismatic gifts has passed. But again, nonetheless, isn't a blessing, even though, you know, that particular gift that we don't expect today and shouldn't pray for, the Lord doesn't promise it to us, a blessing to have a text like this one where Jesus offers us really wonderful instruction in the proper use of the gifts that he still gives to us today. And at the top of that list is prophecy, which is the gift of being able to share the truths of God's word with other people, the saving message of Christ crucified and risen. Or as Paul puts it in our text, the gift of being able to instruct and teach others in the saving truths of the Bible. If you read through those three chapters in Corinthians, you'll notice how Paul took great pains to stress for the Corinthians, that's the gift that you should be gung-ho about fervently praying for and receiving from the Lord. The church, I'd rather speak five intelligible words to instruct others, Paul said, than 10,000 words in a tongue when people can't even understand what you're saying and can't be benefited by it, can't be edified. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, he wrote, the first passage of our text, try to excel in the ones that build up the church. So you dear council members, as you enter another year of service, let it be your prayer that the Lord endow you with this gift that you may use for the building up of your fellow Christians. Even though not all aspects of ministry work in the church, as mentioned before, aren't related directly to prophecy, to instructing people in God's Word, they do all relate to the main purpose of our church's existence in an indirect way, which is to build others up in Christ through the proclamation of the gospel word. And that's what makes your work, whatever it is, very, very important to Christ. It's also what will serve to encourage you and give you joy in your work as you remember that Christ himself has appointed you for it and is using your labors of love for building up your brothers and sisters in Christ in their faith. And so when we convene meetings in this new year, council meetings, voters meetings, ladies meetings, let's approach them with that in mind. We might sometimes joke about it. Is it going to be a stand-up meeting or a sit-down meeting? One with lots of agenda items or just a few, long or short? Well, whatever the length of the meeting is, know that each is important because they all have to do with the ministry of the gospel by which God's people are built up in their faith. I conclude this morning with a little parable. Again, one of those kind of strange stories, but it has a really good moral and meaning for us as Christians, about a man. He was a carpenter. He fell on the ice one day outside on a cold winter day, and he broke his left hand. And that night as he was sleeping, he had a dream in which his right hand and his left hand were having a conversation with each other. His right hand said to the left hand, "Everyone's glad it was you that got broke. You're not nearly as important as me." "Care to explain that?" left hand said. Right hand replied, "Well, my owner can't write without me." Left hand said, "But yeah, who holds the paper down on the table? It's me." Right hand said, "When my master swings the hammer, who holds it?" "Yeah, but who's the one that steadies the nail?" the left hand said. "I want to ask you a question now," the left hand said. "When our owner stood in front of the mirror shaving this morning, you held the razor, but his face got cut because I wasn't there to help. You see that watch over there on the dresser? You do the winding, but if I'm not there to hold it, it will not get wound. Our master can do few things without me." Well, the dream then ended with the left hand succeeding in persuading the right hand that both were important to their master. And so too, each member of a Christian church has an integral role to play for their Lord and Master Jesus. And each of you soon-to-be-installed council members, you have very special tasks to do, different but important, Let your prayer be, let all of our prayers be, that the Holy Spirit assist us to use whatever the gifts the Lord has given to us in the congregation for His praise and for the edification, for the building up of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit.